Okay, well, hello and welcome to Cara Marie Live. I'm fitness expert and personal trainer Cara Marie Segundo, and today we're broaching a subject of particular concern to me, and I believe that after the show, it'll likely be of great concern to you as well if it isn't already. Now, unless you've been literally living under a rock, you know that we are fatter than ever. And what's worse, what's really sad, is our kids, our little kids, innocent kids, are fatter than ever, and it's our fault. Little kids eat what we adults make available to them, and we're failing them in a big way. The United States is the fattest country in the world. We spend over $168 billion, billion annually fighting obesity and obesity-related diseases, and that's money that could go toward helping other people in other ways if we didn't have to fight something that didn't have to exist. Over 12 million kids in this country alone are obese. That's one in six. Now, sadly, this generation of kids that we're raising is expected to have a shorter lifespan than that of their parents, and that's not how it's supposed to be. Now, if you think this is not your problem, well, think again. Whether or not the issue of childhood obesity affects you directly, it does affect you indirectly because we all have to pay for the ill health of our neighbors. Well, our guest today has dedicated his entire career to fighting childhood obesity, and he continues to fight the good fight. So please help me welcome Len Saunders. He was a consultant to the President's Council on Physical Fitness and Sports and an American Heart Association spokesperson on the issue of childhood obesity. He's a contributor to Human Kinetics, Muscle and Fitness, and Sports Illustrated for Kids. Len has been involved in children's health and fitness for over 30 years, and he's written a really great book from which we're pulling today called Keeping Kids Fit. Welcome, Len Saunders.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
It's so nice to meet you, Len. Now, the more I read up on you, the more impressed I got. You started as a physical education teacher, basically.
That's correct.
And I think the impression I get from reading up on you is you kind of got in and you were like, wait a minute. Over the years, you started to see trends that you were just like baffled because over a 30-year long haul, someone like you can really report on what's been happening. You know, stats are one thing, but you've seen what's happened right before your eyes. What is going on?
Well, we do have an epidemic facing the youth of the world, and not just so much in the United States, but it's really a worldwide epidemic now. Even Michelle Obama knows that there's issues going on with her Let's Move initiative, although she's reporting that there have been some slight improvements in big cities like New York and L.A. But overall, we do have a major concern on our hands, and like you said earlier, this could be the first generation of children whose life expectancy is shorter than their parents, and that's never happened before. And that tells us a lot. And many people don't realize that it's right in their backyard, and they're not even, you know, aware of it. So we do have to be worried about this. We do have to make some changes, and it's really not as difficult as we think. It's just, you know, those little baby steps that make a big difference in a kid's life.
But also, Len, I want to tell you something, and you're going to agree with me. So I don't have kids. Do you have kids?
Yes, I do.
What are your kids' age?
7 and 14.
Okay, so they're little enough to be a part of this, what's going on. I don't have kids, but I have nephews. And I know that my nephew, who is now almost 15, he was very chunky as a kid. Primarily because, you know, when I was his age, when I was 10 and 11, I was out, you know, riding my bike and we would play kickball in the street and volleyball and all the neighborhood kids. He, as a kid, aside from his little soccer practice, he did like Xbox and he did a lot of video games and things like that. Now I see I've got little tiny nephews, 5 and 3, and I recently went with my sister-in-law to pick up the 3-year-old at his little nursery school, and there was a really fat little child in there, and I said to my sister-in-law, I said, oh my God, Joanna, look at that little boy. I mean, he was as wide as he was tall. And she said, oh well, not our problem. And I said, no, Joanna,
it is a problem.
People don't realize that little fat boy, I mean, let's just bring it down to money. That little fat boy is gonna cost money, and I'm gonna have to pay, and Joanna's gonna have to pay for that little boy's, diabetes, that little boy's sleep apnea, that little boy's possibly kidney dialysis. Do you understand? Like, we're going to go bankrupt.
Well, listen, the bottom line, and everybody, if they've been reading the news, they've been seeing what's been going on in New York City with Mayor Bloomberg and the bans on soda and the restrictions or what they call the fat tax is going on. And there's a good mixture of people who really are in favor of it or those who really are against it. And, you know, Mayor Bloomberg didn't make it through the first cut because the judge, you know, denied him access to doing a bunch of things. But I don't think the fight's over. I just don't think a lot of people realize that the government is starting to get involved in this now because they do realize that it's going to cost a lot of money down the road. And I think you and I are pretty much the same age, although I think you don't want to admit that, right? So
no, I'm almost 48.
You're like 30 years younger than me then, right? We'll say?
No. So you're like, what, 52?
I'm 52. And
yeah.
So you remember when we were kids, they had those cigarette commercials on the TV, and, you know, eventually they all disappeared, and they went to more print ads and so forth because they were worried about the influence on children. And now we're seeing a lot more about the food bans on the TV, similar type of thing. But a lot of people have to realize when you see that overweight child, it does affect us. Maybe not directly that moment, but down the road, it will have an impact on our lives. And our economy already is in a bad position right now. And I think the government's starting to realize that. And they want to try to minimize obesity and overweight children just to help keep costs down the road because it's going to cost a lot of money to keep these people healthy. And that's a concern, not just in the United States, but all over the world.
They said, but Len, they said on CNN, we our medical system, and this show airs in 108 countries. For this moment, I just want to say this sentence for the U.S. We're going to have a bankrupt healthcare system very soon. And it's all because we pour money into diseases that don't have, like all these diseases that are a result of being obese are sort of, let me call them optional diseases, like they don't have to exist.
That's perfectly 100% true. And I'm going to add to that, I'm sure I'm going to talk about this a little bit later on in our phone call, but when you and I were kids, we talk about diabetes now, and back then it was called either adult onset diabetes or juvenile diabetes, and you don't hear that terminology too often right now. You hear more type 1 diabetes and type 2 diabetes, and type 2 diabetes was the one that was really adult onset diabetes, but because so many children are getting that disease that you don't hear that terminology anymore, and diabetes is directly correlated with obesity, and the environment has changed to such where children now are coming down with type 2 or adult onset diabetes. So everything you're saying is 100% true, and this, like we said earlier, a few of the smaller steps are going to make a big difference in kids' lives.
Len, I don't know if you saw it, but did you see on the Oprah Winfrey Network, she had a special recently called Generation XXL.
Yes.
And you know, they featured a little boy, a little tiny boy, 4 years old. He was over 101 pounds, and he had to sleep with a CPAP machine. You guys, that's for sleep apnea. A little bitty baby boy. Okay, a little four-year-old boy, 2 years ago, he was wearing a diaper, and now he has a CPAP machine for sleep apnea. And you know what? That's his mother's fault. It's not a little four-year-old boy can't buy stuff.
Right.
His caretakers, somebody made that kid fat. And I do directly blame his primary caretaker, who happens to be his mother. Sorry, I blame her.
And you do get a lot of comments from that. Like, I know through the years, I've done a lot of public speaking at various universities or for parents or PTAs and so forth. And when you say that, parents get so offended by all this.
Sorry,
I'm not to blame, blah, blah, blah. And you know what? And sometimes it is the parents, sometimes it's not. I mean, it's really hard to get into great detail, like what goes on personally with each. But, you know, like you said, a four-year-old child, you know, they're not going to make many of the decisions on their own. I mean, basically the parents are going to be in charge of that. So, you know, it's really a tough call. And the sad part is a lot of parents are raising children today like their parents did 20 or 30 years ago, and you can't do that anymore. And parenting has to change with the times. And, you know, 20, 30 years ago, a parent's diet might have been satisfactory, but the kids were going outside to play nonstop.
Right.
Whereas nowadays, the kids are not going out, whether the environment's not safe, the parents aren't comfortable with it. You know, both parents are working now, or it's a divorced home, and there's, you know, only one parent, they can't watch a child. There's so many different reasons why children are not getting out to play like they used to. But when the environment changes, so does the raising of the parent, the kids. And that's a big, big problem I always have, because you can't do it the same as it was done 20, 30 years ago. Just can't work.
Now, and I think you even said in your book, and I loved this, you said, you know, say 30 years ago, we would sit down together for meals, and then for playtime, everybody would go out and go crazy and play. Now it's the exact opposite, you said. We sit down to play. We play our Xbox, we play our video games, we watch TV, and eating is just running around on the go, grab what you can.
And not together as a family.
So we flip that.
Right. And the definition of play has changed. You know, like when I was a kid, when you were a kid, hey, let's go play. I mean, go outside and get some physical activity. Now play can mean, you know, the computer, the video games, the handheld devices. I mean, it's such a contrast to what it used to be. So, yeah, and that goes back to what I just said a minute ago. The environment change, we have to change along with it.
Exactly. Now, if I said to you, just as a professional, as someone who does this every day for a living, if I said, what are the primary causes of childhood obesity, would you basically say that we have not made changes along with the state of the environment? What's going on?
Well, two things pop into mind for me. The main thing for me that I think is a major culprit is technology.
Okay.
And technology is great. It helps us with advancements in medicine, communication, entertainment. But it's really causing a generation of couch potatoes, where children are being very sedentary and playing inside instead of playing outside. And I think that the social aspects of technology, where children have access to communicate with each other nonstop, the pressures of staying up to date, you know, whether it's Twitter or Facebook or email or texting, phone calls. You know, when we were children, you know, if a friend of ours was going to contact us at nighttime, you know, and we were in our bedrooms, the phone rang.
Yeah.
Everybody in the house heard it.
Right.
And then your mom or dad comes running and says, oh, no, you're not. You're going to bed. Now, when the kid's locked in their bedroom, think about all the ways they have to communicate with each other through the Xbox, texting, computer. I mean, I think I counted 12 to 15 different ways the last time I thought about it, and a parent wouldn't even know about it. When those doors shut, parents think the kids are sleeping. They don't know what's going on behind those closed doors half the time. And that's why I always recommend the parents have a computer-free, technology-free bedroom. So the kids are going to bed when you think they're going to bed. And that doesn't happen in most households. So I think the number one cause for me is the technology. And then the other things, like you said, the environment, you know, we have to change with the environment. But I also think, since, you know, this goes along with that, but with the environment that's changed, we've become very advanced in many aspects of life.
Mm-hmm.
I think many of us are getting used to that convenience of things. Whether it's heating food up in the microwave, or, you know, going out for a quick fast food, or, you know, whatever it is, everything has become very easy, and we've become very complacent as a society. We're happy with the status quo and making things easier. And I think that's pretty much cut back on the physical activity aspect for children, that we're having generations of children now who are just having everything handed to them. You know, and think about it. You know, when you were a kid and you went shopping for clothes, you went to the store. I remember my mom taking me for pants, and I would literally pass out by the time we were done. You know, traveling from aisle to aisle, going to the dressing room, changing.
How is it now?
Now, just go online and order a pair of pants. You know, that's too convenient. You know, it's just, you know, when I was a kid, if I had to communicate with a kid or go outside and play, I would go run to the house, knock on the door. Now it's like, hey, you want to go play? I'll text you, you know, later. You know, it's not like it used to be. I just think the times have changed, and things are just very easy for kids now, where they're not working hard physically to get things done.
Well, what about, so we've already discussed that these diseases are trickling down, and I've told this story before. Well, two things, and I think this is going to resonate with you. When I was a little kid, I'm from a big Italian family, and a lot of the older people who got, you know, older and they get fat, I'm talking in their 70s, they'd get diabetes, and I remember, like, you know, it was like an anomaly, like Uncle Johnny, we'd be at a birthday party and Uncle Johnny couldn't have cake because he had diabetes, so we'd have to, you know what I mean? But it was an anomaly. Now it's everywhere. So that's one thing that's changed. The other thing that's changed is, I forgot what I was going to say, but it was something like that. We're like, things that used to be, oh, I know what I was going to say. When I was a little kid, there was the fat kid in school. Remember those days where there was the fat kid in your class. Now, if you go to a school, they're all fat. I live two blocks from a public school, a very nice public school, and I see them playing in the playground. When I was a kid, there was the fat kid. Now, they're all fat kids.
And it's sad. It's sad. I mean, you know, and I'm a teacher, so, like, I do feel bad for children who are overweight because I worry about their self-esteem and how other people perceive them and their confidence levels. And a lot of times these kids get left behind because they lose interest in participating in physical activity because they're afraid of what other people are going to say or look at them differently. So it definitely affects their self-esteem and their confidence, and it turns them off to physical activity when a lot of times these are the children who really need that encouragement because they're not getting it at home, and the parents are busy, or, you know, there's just a whole host of different reasons.
What age group are you currently teaching?
I teach 3-year-olds to 11-year-olds, elementary.
So you're in the little tiny, okay, so you're, yeah. Okay, so you're the little tiny, tiny ones, okay.
Yeah.
Because, see, another thing that particularly bothers me is they're starting to cut physical education dollars, and they're starting to cut out recess, am I right?
Yeah, and that's the sad part, too. You know, listen, when I was a kid, I remember in high school, we had to actually practice marching. And I'm not talking like marching band. I'm talking like marching like if you're in the military. And bottom line, the phys ed was developed to keep the military stronger and have fit people ready for the wars that were, you know, potentially going to happen. And I read an interesting article the other day about how we've kind of gotten away from that point of view where everything's politically correct right now, of course, but... you know, but physical education does play an important role, not only to prepare us for life, but for many different aspects of life. You know, whether it's, you know, having social skills with participating in sport down the road, you know, and just feeling strong and reducing heart disease and cancers and type 2 diabetes. But, you know, we're getting away from really the importance of why phys ed is needed in the schools. And it's so sad how it's really getting, you know, the tail end of support. And there's so much studies out there that show that kids need, you know, that little break in it, how it helps with cognitive skills, and kids actually do better on test scores when they're involved in physical activity. And you know, if they're sitting down at a desk all day, it's going to hurt them in many different ways, you know. So it's such an important part of our school.
But you know what I wanted to say, and because this is true, Ken. Len, I'm sorry. Because I was just thinking of something as I was saying your name. When we, the parents, are not the only people raising our kids. Once kids go off to school, they are largely raised by the school system. They're fed by the school system. And I'm talking public schools. I wish that there would be a movement toward really addressing what's going on in these schools, what we're feeding, the trash we're feeding these kids, the trash we're feeding these kids.
And there were some new guidelines that were put into effect this year as far as nutritional standards in the school cafeteria. So they are, you know, again, because Mrs. Obama has been very active in that, and the USDA is getting involved in that. So there are some small changes to the lunch menus that's going on. Not 100% where it should be, but there are some changes. But, you know, the phys ed is really an important part of the day, and it's a shame that kids don't get daily quality physical education every day.
Jeez. Well, who do you consider, as a teacher, who do you see as the child's number one role model, really?
For me, it's always been the parents. And unfortunately, the parents don't get that due justice. You know, a lot of times you hear the professional athletes or the actors or, you know, the coach or something like that. But the parents really are the number one role model for the kids. And, you know, if a parent's on the couch, you know, eating bonbons all day, that's what a child sees as acceptable behavior. If a parent's smoking a cigarette in the house, that's what the kids see as acceptable behavior. And, you know, that old line, well, I'm an adult, I can do it, you can't, that doesn't really sit well with children. They don't get that. But if a kid sees a parent who's eating healthy, going out to exercise, and then a parent is communicating with them about this and making it seem like it's a very important part of their life as well, the child responds in a positive way. And really, you know, they're watching, you know, and I always get a kick when parents, oh, my kids never listen, they don't do it. They do hear. They're very selective in what they want to do. So, But a parent has to realize that kids are observing their every second, and they do mimic what they see. So that's what I would say, is the parents are the number one person that they're.
So regardless of how much are the public school system may be failing with respect to food choices and lack of recess and lack of PE, no matter what's going on there, you still feel like with a strong parental or, you know, a primary caretaker role model, the kid's going to come out probably with a better outcome.
Yeah, and with my first personal experience, I grew up without a father. Unfortunately, I never met my father, and I know that it took a team effort to make me a well-rounded person. You know, teachers, coaches, my mom. It took a team effort, and I still to this day firmly believe that a team effort is what it takes to help a kid lead a healthy lifestyle.
Got it. We're going to go to break. You guys, we're going to come right back on that thought. We're with Len Saunders, the author of Keeping Kids Fit, and he's fighting the fight against childhood obesity. Stay with us.
Train your brain and change your body. Get fit and healthy for life. For over 25 years, Tara Marie Segundo's worked in the fitness industry, and Tara Marie's available for personal consultations by phone. She'll help you build a fitness strategy, design a routine, get past those mental blocks and bad habits, all to get you fit and healthy for life. Put a stop to disordered eating. Tara Marie can help. Have an injury? No problem. Tara Marie can design an exclusive exercise program just for you. What are you waiting for? Get on track and stay on track. And if you're in New York City and want individualized or group personal training, Tara Marie can come to you. So in person or by phone, call Tara Marie now at 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221. Or visit TaraMarie.com today. That's TaraMarie.com. TaraMarie.com.
I'm Marie Osmond. Choices, some are minor, others life-changing. But what if your small choices matter the most, like the stairs or the elevator, baked or fried? What if these small choices determine if you'll be the one out of every three women who die of heart disease this year? These choices might not seem life-changing today, but women are dying of heart disease at the rate of almost one per minute. Luckily, it's mostly preventable. Choose to act. Our hearts, our choice. Make your choice at GoRedForWomen.org.
A better world begins with you. Find out how on HealthyLife.net.
Tara Marie, beauty, brains, and biceps.
Hey, welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. Today's topic is obliterating childhood obesity. And one of the reasons I care so much about that is because 77%, at least 77% of obese kids become obese adults. And obese adults are diseased adults. And diseased adults tax the healthcare system. And we spend over $168 billion fighting obesity and obesity-related diseases annually in the country, in the United States alone. And we're going to go bankrupt. That's the bottom line. And I hate to bring it all down to dollars and cents, but we're literally going to go bankrupt. My guest today has dedicated his entire career for over 30 years now to fighting childhood obesity. His name is Len Saunders. He's the author of a really clever book. It's called Keeping Kids Fit. It's a very practical guide. I think every parent should read it. And, you know, Len, what do you think? You think it's for parents or for kids? I think every parent should read it because I don't think parents are getting it.
It's for parents. It's really like your basic encyclopedia of keeping your kids healthy. It has every topic on the planet for parents. And it's a lot of stuff that they may already know, but they forgot. And
yeah.
The reminders of what they need to do to help keep the kids healthy.
Yeah, and Len's been on the front lines. Len, for over 30 years, you're not just sitting at a desk writing. You work in the school system teaching kids. And as we said at the top of the show, you've seen changes in your 30-year career, in your kids, in the actual kids themselves, the way they act, the way they react, the way they eat, the way they live, and you've seen them get fatter and fatter and fatter and fatter.
And it's this change. It's you know, and it's like we said earlier, it's right in the backyard, and parents got to realize that it's really going to affect their children. And sadly, when parents look at their children, they say, my child looks fine. And it may not be, you know, as simple as that. A child who's overweight, you know, you can tell right away that there's an issue. But even kids who look lean, it doesn't mean that they're in good health at that moment.
Right.
They can still have heart disease because they may be lean because it's in their genetics, and their pants may look, you know, like they fit okay, but it's not necessarily a sign that they're healthy or going to be healthier when they get older, or they're not candidates for a type 2 diabetes. So just appearance alone isn't really the issue.
Right. Well, being a little skinny, scrawny kid doesn't mean you're fit.
Exactly. And that's what parents are judging a lot of times. And
yeah.
I try to explain that when I do a lot of my public speaking. Because I have parents who raise hands saying, no, my kid's not overweight. But and I say, you know what? It has nothing to do with being overweight.
Necessarily, yeah.
Yeah, it's lean body mass versus fat mass. And fat mass comes in all shapes and sizes. So, you know, we have to realize that you know, it's there, but, you know, your child's on the computer all day and not playing, but they're really skinny and they're eating cupcakes and donuts all day. You know, just because they look fine doesn't mean they actually are
fine. Now, you said in the top of the show that ultimately kids' number one role models are the parents, even though a lot of people raise our kids because we release them out into the world. But what are some things that parents should know to help their children who either struggle with weight, or maybe they don't struggle with weight, but they're just not active kids? Like, what should we do? Let's go to the obesity, because that's really where, I mean, I understand that there are kids that look little, like little scrawny kids, but they're unhealthy. But really, today's show is about battling obesity. What should parents do?
Well, I think the first thing is that when a child is upset, I'm overweight, I'm saying, it's not really the child who's having the issue, but it's the family. It becomes, again, a team effort to work with that child and build their self-esteem and give them the confidence that they need to move forward and have a productive, healthy lifestyle. And if the parents are actively involved and supportive, that change can take place. But if a child is left on their own to take care of it, and you know, I'm busy, I'm working, here, go to, you know, the fast food chain and get yourself dinner, you know, it's not going to work.
So basically, it comes down to being an involved parent.
Exactly, and if parents get involved and show that love and support, and unconditional love, we should say, not just love, unconditional love, it does go in the right direction, because baby steps is the key here, and change is not going to happen overnight. And unfortunately, many children, in this circumstance, they feel that change will happen quickly, and it doesn't. And the parents have to be there to show support and let them know, hey, we're in this together. You know, let's have a salad together for dinner tonight. Let's go for a walk after dinner.
Right. Don't isolate the kid. Don't isolate the fat kid.
Right.
Right.
And that does happen. That's such a good point, because in some households there's an overweight child and there's another child who's, you know, a good athlete, and the overweight child gets neglected half the time. You know, treat both the kids evenly.
Okay.
With the same respect and not really make them feel, you know, that they're belittled or beneath anything, and don't talk to them in a condescending tone, because that never works. That actually has the opposite effect.
Now in chapter one, straight off the bat, in your book, Keeping Kids Fit, you have a top 10 list for keeping kids fit. So let's review some of these. You say, okay, obviously we said get involved. The involved parent, that's going to be helpful, because the involved parent's going to be overseeing eating. They're going to eat meals together. They're going to say, hey, let's go out for a walk. So that's one. You have the bank method. What's that?
This, I love this analogy, because, you know, I use it for parents as well, but a parent sometimes says to me, I don't know how to explain it to my 10-year-old about eating healthy and exercising. And I said, well, your kids like to save money, right? And they know that, you know, you put money in the bank and mysteriously they put a dollar in and it might turn to $1.05 down the road, you know, because they make an interest and so forth. And like, yeah, my kid gets that. I said, well, think of health as a bank. I said, think of your body as a bank. You know, and tell your kids when they eat healthy every day, you know, having the fruits and vegetables and whole grains and so forth, and then they exercise every day, it's like making a health deposit into the body. And they do that over a period of time. It's going to give them dividends down the road. They're going to be stronger. They're going to be able to do things that, you know, an overweight child or overweight adult may not be able to do. And it's really, it's saving away for later on, because most kids right now are pretty healthy and they don't get that concept of, well, you know, if you eat crappy now, then down the road, you know, they don't get that. So you're talking about making health deposits now for the future. And, you know, sometimes, you know, if you take withdrawal out of the bank and you take money out of the bank, it makes you a little weaker because, you know, that money in the bank's really giving you security and strength. Well, if you smoke cigarettes or eat, you know, too much junk food, a lot of the unhealthy foods, it's like making a health withdrawal from the bank.
Okay, what about, oh, sorry. What about, you have one, well, actually, we're going to go to break. You have 30 seconds. We'll come back on it. You have one, watch liquid intake. I love that because I think too many kids are drinking too much trash.
Yeah, and, you know, different reports say between 25 to 40% of daily calories that kids consume is from liquid. Obviously, it's too much of the liquid candy. So, you know, 3 cups of low-fat milk a day after the age of 2 is good. 100%, you know, all-natural, unsweetened juice, you know, one cup a day is fine. But the majority of the time, it should be water. It cleanses the body. It has so many positive benefits. And most kids today don't drink enough water.
Got it. But it goes back, and you also have this on the list, and we've got to go to break, but you have this on the list. It goes back to leading by example. I mean, we got to watch ourselves because it's like you said, these little babies, they're watching. I mean, like I said, I've got a 3-year-old and a 5-year-old. They watch everything I do. They're like little sponges. You guys, we're going to go to break. We're going to come back with Len Saunders. We're talking about obliterating childhood obesity. Stay with us.
Tara Marie Segundo is a sought-after fitness expert with over 25 years in the business. Tara Marie can help you lose weight, change bad habits, break through mental blocks, and design an exercise program for your busy life. On-site personal training is available in New York City, or schedule a phone consultation to answer all of your questions about reaching your fitness goals. Visit TaraMarie.com or call 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221, or visit TaraMarie.com. Train your brain and change your body. Get fit and healthy for life. For over 25 years, Tara Marie Segundo's worked in the fitness industry, and Tara Marie's available for personal consultations by phone. She'll help you build a fitness strategy, design a routine, get past those mental blocks and bad habits, all to get you fit and healthy for life. Put a stop to disordered eating. Tara Marie can help. Have an injury? No problem. Tara Marie can design an exclusive exercise program just for you. What are you waiting for? Get on track and stay on track. And if you're in New York City and want individualized or group personal training, Tara Marie can come to you. So in person or by phone, call Tara Marie now at 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221. Or visit TaraMarie.com today. That's TaraMarie.com. TaraMarie.com.
Music, information, and friends. HealthyLife.net.
Tara Marie. Beauty, brains, and biceps.
You're listening to Tara Marie Live, and today's topic is obliterating childhood obesity. And again, I've said it so often, you guys, we're killing our babies. We're killing our children, and I feel like we, the adults, are responsible because little kids pick up what to do, what to eat, and how to live from us. So we're talking today with Len Saunders. He's an award-winning author and a motivational speaker in the fight against childhood obesity. And again, his book today that we're talking about is called Keeping Kids Fit. And it's a very, very practical guide for parents to read about keeping kids fit. And Len, again, you work on the front lines. You're working with little kids in elementary school, actually. And you know what? Good for you, because I think that if you don't get to them right at the beginning of their little lives, I think that it's hard to undo habits. And so in your book, in chapter 2 now, you've got a top 10 list on how to motivate kids to be more active. Let's look at some of your favorites. One of them, it makes perfect sense to me, give kids the opportunity to be more active.
And unfortunately today, they're not always getting that opportunity. Parents come home late from work, or both parents are working, you know, we can get them to recreation, to the parks, and not, you know, you have to make some way for them to get active and make that a goal of yours. But unfortunately today, many kids are not getting the opportunity to get outside and play. They're stuck in the house until the parents get home, or there's no one to babysit them or watch them. So, yeah.
And to be fair, when I was a little kid, it was different. When I was a little kid, when I got home from school at like 2:30 or 3:30 in the afternoon, my mom was there. Okay, so she would open the door, we would maybe have a snack, change our clothes, and then she would put us on a bicycle and say, now leave and do not come back till I call you.
And times have changed a lot.
And she would call us for dinner, we would come back, we would eat dinner, do our little homework, and go to bed.
Yeah, I mean, I used to walk a mile and a half to school when I was in first grade. I mean, again, I had no choice because I had no one to watch me. But times have changed, so we have to, you know, make certain accommodations. And, you know, one parent said to me once, well, I'm working so late. I said, well, why don't you have a little rotating system in the neighborhood where one parent, you know, watches the kids on Monday outside playing, another parent watches them Tuesday, you know, whatever system.
Get a co-op. Exactly, a co-op.
Right.
Because, see, when you and I were little, and again, I'm almost 48, you're 52, my mother, without hesitation, would put me outside with a bicycle and a hula hoop and not think about me for 4 hours.
But she gave you the opportunity.
Because no one was going to snatch me off the street. Nowadays, I wouldn't put my little five-year-old nephew out. There's no way I'm putting him outside for 5 hours unsupervised.
Listen, I'll tell you a quick story. When I was, I walked to school, like I said, a mile and a half when I was a little kid. I remember one time I was walking home, a car stopped, this old rackety car. These four guys came out with these flannel shirts and beer in their hand. They're like, come here, can you get in this car? And I remember I took off like the Roadrunner. I jumped over this fence, ran away. And, you know, from that day on, I sprinted to school every day, back and forth. And I was the fastest kid in my class. So I think, you know, the environment
is... Yeah, it's sick.
I think even back then it was bad. I just think today parents are more cognizant of it and more protective than they were many years ago.
See, when I was a kid, Len, now I'm a little girl. Okay, when I was a little girl in kindergarten, and I was young for my class, so I was 4 years old in kindergarten, my mother let me walk about a mile to school every day by myself, and sometimes I'd meet up with my little neighbor Tricia, and we'd walk together, two little girls. It was a different world. It was just a different world. Nowadays, I have a five-year-old nephew. I wouldn't let him walk around the block by himself. And he lives in a very cushy neighborhood. I'm sorry, I just don't trust. It is different, and it's sick, and it's sad. You say in your top 10 list for keeping kids, motivating kids, you say teach kids the cognitive benefits of physical activity. Does that work on little ones?
Well, no, I think they need to be aware of what the benefits are, other than just going out and play and have fun. You know, that helps them socially, helps them mentally, helps them physically. There are many benefits that they should be taught and educated. Why play is important. Instead of playing on the computer all day, why do you need to go outside and play?
So, like, what are some things, you said that in your school system you work with little tiny ones from 3 up till 11. What are some things you say to the little tiny ones to help them understand?
Well, the great thing about the little tiny ones is innately they just love to play. And something changes down the road where they get so absorbed in other things, technology or whatever it might be. So the little kids really are pretty easy. It's really there for the taking as far as keeping them physically active. It's a matter of maintaining that as they get older. That's the key thing.
Well, another thing you have here, and I like this, you have rebalance to competition, the competition to fun ratio.
Right. Most kids are turned off to a lot of different sports because they feel they need to compete with other children. And one thing I always tell parents, teach your kids about individualized competition. And what that means is you're not competing with the other child. You're competing with yourself. And that's the main thing. And when you start to compete with only yourself, improving your personal gains, then it becomes a little more fun.
Yeah, I don't know about you, but when I was a little kid, I was a little lone ranger. I would do a lot of biking. I would do a lot of things. I wasn't a team sport kid, but I would do a lot of lone things, and that's fine. You know.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. You say make it a family event. That's really the big thing. Go out swimming together in the pool. Say let's go to the park on a Saturday afternoon. Get outside, air out.
And the kids do respond to that favorably because they enjoy spending time with mom and dad. And parents should know that. The kids know that parents have no interest in that. then eventually, you know, it turns into that the kids have no interest in that. So I think it's important to maintain that on a regular basis and let the kids know that you actually like going out for walks, for bike rides, going for a hike, you know, whatever it is. As long as it's a family activity and the parents are having a good time, what better role models can you ask for when that happens?
I agree with you. Now, something that you said in Chapter 12 piqued my interest. In Chapter 12, you have a whole section called To Diet or Not to Diet. What is your professional opinion about, quote, putting kids on a diet? What do you think about that?
Well, I don't think really any kids should be on a diet per se. And unfortunately, many parents do put their kids on diets, and they do it completely the wrong way.
Okay.
For example, where they cut out the word, you know, the word fat is taboo to parents. But what parents don't even realize half the time is that there are many fats are very important for normal growth and development for a child to ingest every day. There are healthy fats out there. And parents don't really know how to do that properly. You know, once in a while you might have that kid who has to go to a nutritionist, a dietitian, but they're working with a professional there, and they get them on the right diet to eat. I think the main thing is that we have to remember that kids are not mini adults. We have to give them portions that are appropriate for their age and their size, not adult-sized portions. And I think a lot of times you also need to give kids choices. Don't just say go to the pantry and pick a snack. Give them some healthy choices to choose from, or have them have a say in the menu for dinner and give them choices. But, you know, don't necessarily put your kid on a diet where they're neglecting the body of a lot of nutrients that they need. But maybe cut back on the portion size.
But also, well, see, and what I would add to that is keep your home clean. In other words, nobody has to be on a diet. If the whole family is eating from a very wholesome basis of foods, there's no diet. The whole family's eating that way.
Right.
So in other words, I caution parents, don't isolate one kid, because they'll see the diet as a punishment. The minute you make a kid feel punished, they're going to rebel the minute they get out from under your thumb.
And a perfect analogy, one of my kids is peanut allergic, so guess what? We don't have any peanuts.
In the house. You guys, we've got to say goodbye to Len Saunders. Again, Len Saunders' book, Keeping Kids Fit, available on Amazon.com. It's also got a Kindle version. I mean, this is as easy peasy to get. Len, I want to thank you for being with us. And you guys, I want you to stay tuned. We're coming back. Get your dialing fingers ready. We're coming back for Kara's Tip of the Week. Get ready to ask me your questions. Thank you, Len.
Thank you.
Tara Marie Segundo is a sought-after fitness expert with over 25 years in the business. Tara Marie can help you lose weight, change bad habits, break through mental blocks, and design an exercise program for your busy life. On-site personal training is available in New York City, or schedule a phone consultation to answer all of your questions about reaching your fitness goals. Visit TaraMarie.com or call 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221, or visit TaraMarie.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options, from basic and expensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to Bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
To be a good father is the most important job in a man's life. But it doesn't have to be hard. Play catch. Go to a park or visit a zoo. Help your child with their homework. Sit down together for dinner. Ask them how their day was. Things get busy, and sometimes we all fall short. But the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today.
Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
For more than 20 years, Homeboy Industries has made a difference in the lives of former gang members and at-risk youth in Los Angeles. Their free programs and services have given hope and opportunity to thousands and their signature businesses, Homeboy Bakery, Homegirl Cafe and Catering, Homeboy Silkscreen and Embroidery, and Homeboy Merchandise offers hands-on training in a safe work environment. Donate to Homeboy today and help them continue their important work. To find out more, call 323-526-1254 or visit online at www.homeboy-industries.org.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Tara Marie, beauty, brains, and biceps.
Welcome back. You're listening to Tara Marie Live. I'm Tara Marie Segundo, and I do thank you for joining me this week. Right now, I am at the Tara's Tip of the Week segment, so this is open Q&A. If you have a question, please do call 1-800-555-5453. That is toll-free. If you can't call, actually, you could post on my Facebook page, and I'll answer the question, facebook.com/Tara Marie Live. What I want to talk about this week is, and you're welcome to call and ask about anything, but what I'm going to be talking about is, a few weeks ago I was talking about some of the tips that I posted. I wrote an article for Expert Beacon, expertbeacon.com. It's an online sort of magazine. And they were the do's and don'ts of permanent weight loss. And when I'm dealing with clients, because as a trainer and as a consultant, I deal with two types of clients. Sometimes I work with people one-on-one. They're here in New York City, and I physically train them. You know, I meet them at their condo, and we train in their gym, or we go to another place, and I train them. Or sometimes I do a lot of consultations, a lot of phone consultations, people who are not in the area, but they just need an idea of. It's almost like programming and mental stuff. A lot of people, they don't have their heads right in order to lose weight. And before you're going to physically transform yourself, there has to be some sort of a mental transformation, because if your thoughts aren't right, you're going to sabotage yourself either early on in the process or down the road. So you've got to get your head straight and get ready for a physical transformation. So I've already covered the do's of long-term weight loss. Do be gentle with yourself. Do hit the reset button. Do set some boundaries. Do tell yourself no. Do create an environment for success. And I'll tell you where you can get more information on that if you missed the shows where I covered that. But we're talking about the don'ts, and we've already covered a few. We covered don't be too rigid. When you are trying to lose weight long-term, a lot of times what I see people do, and I've actually done this myself, so I get it. We're so rigid that if we make a mistake and we veer from this perfect little path we've set up for ourselves in our head, if we make a mistake and we feel like we've blown it, that rigidity creates a problem, because we figure, oh, forget it. I've blown it. I'm just, screw it. I'm just going to forget it for the rest of the day. And then we just sort of go off the rails for a day or more. And it takes a lot of effort to get back on track if you go off the rails. If you are not rigid, if you eat something that you don't really want to eat and you make a mistake, see it as that. It was a mistake. It was a mistake. Just say, okay, I made a mistake. I probably shouldn't have eaten that. But continuing to binge for the rest of the day certainly isn't going to undo that one mistake. So don't be so rigid that if you go off the path even a little bit, you sort of beat yourself up about it. Because beating yourself up will create bad behavioral patterns. You'll binge eat, or you won't exercise, but you'll beat yourself up because you made a mistake. Number two, don't be too attached to the number on the scale. We've talked about this. If you freak out every time the scale, goes to the right rather than to the left, indicating that you've gained weight rather than lost weight, or if you haven't lost any weight, you're going to become neurotic, okay? You can't get neurotic about the number on the scale. There are many reasons that your body may change in weight that may have nothing to do with body fat. All right, if you go out to a restaurant and you eat a lot of salt, you're going to hold extra water. If you're a woman and you're on your period, or you're about to get your period, you may be retaining extra water. It may be as simple as you may have very full intestines, and, 2 hours after you weigh yourself, you may, go to the bathroom and evacuate your intestines, and then there you lose a half a pound. So don't get so freaked out by the number on the scale. What I tell people is weigh yourself once a week. One time a week I weigh myself. Do it in the same environment, on the same scale, under basically the same circumstances every single week to get the most accurate idea of what you weigh. and then really rely more on mirrors and your waistline. I tell clients, measure your waistline at your navel with a soft tape measure, and just watch, because if your waistline is staying the same or decreasing, but the number on the scale isn't changing much, who cares? You may be putting on muscle mass at a similar rate to that which you're losing fat. So if you're losing fat, but you're also, you know, weight training a lot, so you're sort of putting on muscle mass at a similar rate, the number on the scale isn't going to change, but your body fat will. And your waistline may lose, you know, may lose an inch, or, you know, half an inch, a quarter of an inch, whatever that may be. So don't get too attached to the number on the scale. Don't focus on food. I've had clients who, while they're trying to lose weight, food is their whole focus. That's why you're fat in the first place. Okay, if you're obsessed with and focus on food all the time, you're not going to lose weight, because food should be an afterthought. Food is a meal. Food is fuel. Food is not something you need to worry about every second of every day, worrying about what you're going to eat, what you should have eaten, what you wish you had eaten, what your sister ate, what your best friend at the office ate, what you're going to eat on Thursday. Just get off of it. Eat your meals and then focus on other things in your life. Focus on going out and having fun with friends, going to a movie, joining the running club, whatever it may be. Now, these are some new ones. Don't forget to pat yourself on the back. I have clients who have lost weight, and they're disappointed with the extent to which they have lost weight. And so rather than patting themselves on the back for what they have done, they beat themselves up for not doing enough. Okay, big mistake. Pat yourself on the back. Every effort in the right direction is a good one. Don't forget, don't believe that you can have it all. I've had to let go personally as I've transformed my body. I've had to let go of a lot of bad habits along the way. I've had to let go of a lot of indulgences in order to get the physique I wanted. I've had to change a lot of my habits. I've had to change my idea of entertainment. When I was overweight and out of shape, entertainment for me was eating a cheesecake. Now entertainment for me is meeting all my buddies at the gym. You know, so you can't have it all. You just can't. I don't live the same life that I lived when I was overweight and out of shape, because it's impossible. You're going to have to let some things go, and you may have to even let people go from your life, sadly. You may have to let people go, people that pull you back into bad habits. And finally, when it comes to permanent weight loss, just stop thinking in terms of doing a diet to lose weight and start thinking in terms of living a different way. Because be aware that your life is going to change dramatically. And when I work with clients and they don't have success maintaining weight loss, it's because they never understood fully that certain habits were going to have to go, certain aspects of their lives were going to have to change, and there were going to have to be major shifts. Because people who are lean live differently than people who are fat. It's not just the way they eat, it's the way they live and the way they think. You guys, we're about to go to break, but we're going to come back. If you want to work with me privately, you can. Call my appointment line, 877-692-6221. That's toll-free, 877-692-6221. Or email me at tara@taramarie.com and tell me your story. Okay? We can sort it out. We're going to go to break. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Train your brain and change your body. Get fit and healthy for life. For over 25 years, Tara Marie Segundo's worked in the fitness industry, and Tara Marie's available for personal consultations by phone. She'll help you build a fitness strategy, design a routine, get past those mental blocks and bad habits, all to get you fit and healthy for life. Put a stop to disordered eating. Tara Marie can help. Have an injury? No problem. Tara Marie can design an exclusive exercise program just for you. What are you waiting for? Get on track and stay on track. And if you're in New York City and want individualized or group personal training, Tara Marie can come to you. So in person or by phone, call Tara Marie now at 877-692-6221. That's 877-692-6221. Or visit taramarie.com today. That's TARAMARIE.com. TaraMarie.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave them helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products, ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee, and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Tara Marie, beauty, brains, and biceps.
Hey, I want to thank you again for tuning in. I'm Tara Marie Segundo. This is Tara Marie Live. I will be back next week and every week, Thursdays, here on HealthyLife.net, Thursdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Join my Facebook community. I've got a great Facebook community. We all help each other. You can ask me any question you want, and I'll help you out. Go to Facebook.com/ Tara Marie Live. And follow me on Twitter. I'm always giving great tips. My handle is at Tara Marie Live. And also, you guys join my mailing list. I write a newsletter. It's got a lot of great tips. And I'm wrapping up work on my first ebook called The Most Overlooked Solution for Weight Loss. And if you're on the mailing list, you'll get the ebook for free. For everyone else, it'll be for sale. Go to TaraMarie.com. Right there, sign up for my mailing list. Just sign up, and you'll be getting mail from me within a couple weeks. If you want to work with me privately, I also do that too. You can call my appointment line, 877-692-6221, and we can book an appointment via the phone, via Skype, or if you're in New York City, I'll come work with you free. I wish you a weekend of happiness and good health. Happy Easter. I'll be back next week, same time, same place.